The following is a lecture on Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 15, Text Number 41, given by His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami on 3rd December of 1996 in New Delhi, India.
Gopi jana bala bhava jwala dhari Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Chaitanya Manobestam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamlam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsa Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raguna Tanvitam Tam Sajevam Sadvetam Savadhutam Vaijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitam Shah He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivashadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Ahu Shariram Rata Indriyani Hayana Bishun Mana Indriyesham Vartmani Matra Dishanam Chashutam Swatam Brihad Banduram Isha Shrestam. This is actually a very, very important verse which is being spoken by Narada Muni to Yudhishthira Maharaj. As you probably know, this chapter is called Instructions for Civilized Human Beings. So the difference between civilized and uncivilized human beings is that one knows the purpose of human life and the other doesn't know the purpose of human life. Actually, this verse is so important that Prabhupada has written a 2-page purport to this verse. Now, Narada Muni is pointing out that this body has been made by the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everyone's body, whether it's a beautiful body, an ugly body, a male body, a female body, an animal body, it is made by the direction of the Supreme Lord. There has to be a reason why one man is born rich, one man is born poor, one man is born ugly, one man is born handsome. There is a law of karma. And according to the laws of karma, According to our actions, we receive different bodies. And this law of karma, though ultimately it is under the supervision of the Supreme Lord, it is being supervised and executed by Yamraj. Just like in a government, you may have the Prime Minister who ultimately oversees everything, but then you have different ministers who are also overseeing different departments. Even in a temple, you may have like that. So, Yamraj gives us different bodies based on our karma. Based on our karma, we come, we receive, and we act, and gradually we disappear. Now, in this body, you have the senses, you have the mind, you have the objects of the senses, you have the intelligence, and you have consciousness, isn't it? This body has been compared to a chariot, tanga. You see, tangas, you know, at one time, tanga was the main mean of communication. So the body has been compared to a chariot. And in a chariot, what do you have? First, what do you have?
Horses.
Even the car engines, they call it horsepower. You know that? Horsepower, no? 5 horsepower, this horsepower, 8. So, the original concept of this cars and all originally came from the horses. It was a chariot. Then from the chariot, they gradually moved up. So they call it horsepower, you know. So, the chariot is drawn by horses. Just like in this body, you have senses. What are our senses? You have knowledge-acquiring senses, objects of the senses, working senses. You have 5 knowledge-acquiring senses. What are the 5 knowledge-acquiring senses? The eyes, the ears, the nose, tongue, and genitals, which are also known as touch. Why are they known as knowledge-acquiring senses? They are known as knowledge-acquiring senses because through these senses we gather information, isn't it? If you were blind, then you would not know whether it is day or night. Am I right? If you didn't have eyes, you would not know the difference between different colors. Am I right? So eyes, they help us to see. Through the eyes, we identify who is beautiful, who is ugly, who I like, who I don't like. Then the ears, all day we are speaking, isn't it? We have telephones and all that. But you hear through the ear. Through the ear somebody says, oh, this has happened. So you hear it through the ears. So the ear is also one of the knowledge-acquiring senses. Then nose. If your nose is blocked, you can't smell anything. But with nose, you can smell different fragrances, etc. Am I right? So that is also one of the knowledge-acquiring senses. Then there is the tongue. The tongue also, the tongue you acquire different tastes, you know, it is tasty food, not tasty food, etc. Through the tongue you speak. And then there's this touch or genitals. So these are the 5 knowledge-acquiring senses. So these senses have been compared to the horses of a chariot. Because a chariot is pulled by horses. Of course, you also have knowledge of the senses, you have knowledge-acquiring senses, working senses. Working senses are the hands, the legs, the evacuating organs, reproductive organs, the tongue. So now, these knowledge-acquiring senses over here have been compared to the horses. Now, the horses is being driven by a chariot driver, isn't it? But how does a chariot driver control the horses? With the help of what?
Reins.
So the chariot driver controls the horses through the reins. Now, the reins have been compared in this verse by Narada Muni to the mind. The mind, it controls, just like the reins control the horses, the mind controls the different senses. So the mind is called the master of the senses. Mind is called the leader, the captain. Why? Because when the mind is correctly positioned, then the other senses will also be correctly positioned. If the mind is weak, then the other senses will also be weak. Therefore, Prabhupada in the purport says, the mind is a determination to reach the destination. What is our destination? The destination of the spiritualist is self-realization. And the destination of the materialist is sense enjoyment. Now, the mind is a medium. Because if you're determined, then you will make the senses reject everything that is inauspicious for spiritual development. Just like, for example, these days we are determined to eat healthy food. So people have Bisleri water and so on. So if you know that somebody is giving you some food in which there may be some poison or something contaminated, even if somebody offers you a lakh of rupees, you won't take it, isn't it? So the mind is the rein. Now the rein of the tanga is also controlled by somebody else, isn't it? Who is it controlled by? The driver. It is controlled by the tangawala. So, the driver. So the intelligence is the driver. And consciousness, which is spreading throughout the body, is the cause of our bondage or the cause of our liberation. Just like milk becomes the cause of bad stomach. But the same milk, when it is consumed in the form of dahi or yogurt, it becomes the cure of the bad stomach. So we all have consciousness. The presence of the soul is witnessed through the medium of consciousness. The atheists say, what proof do you have there is soul? Isn't it? Don't they say that? I can't see the soul, so I'm not going to believe it. So what's our answer? Our answer is, the soul cannot be seen with any material instrument, but you can feel the presence of the soul. And you can feel the presence of the soul by virtue of consciousness. That as long as there's soul in the body has consciousness, and when the soul leaves the body has absolutely no consciousness. Now, the intelligence is superior to the mind. In the Bhagavad Gita also Krishna says, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence. So beyond the mind is intelligence, buddhi. So intelligence is ultimately that controls the mind. The mind is ultimately that controls the senses. Very simple. Just like the chariot driver controls the reins, and the reins control the horses. Such a beautiful example the Bhagavad Gita is giving and the Srimad Bhagavatam is giving. So, if your intelligence is correct, then you will not listen to the mind. Just like in our day-to-day lives, you may see something beautiful and you want to obtain it. So the mind says, you go to a shop, you see something nice, you say, oh, why don't I just put it in my shopping bag? No one's going to watch it. But then the intelligence will say, oh, if you get caught, you may have to go to jail. So then you say, okay, I won't do it. Isn't it? There's so many things you see, you feel like doing. But then your intelligence says, no, you may get caught, so then you don't do it. So similarly, we must have spiritual intelligence. And how do you develop spiritual intelligence? You develop spiritual intelligence through the medium of Shravanam and Kirtanam. You're not born with spiritual intelligence. We should not think that we are born Paramahansas. As it is said in the scriptures, Kalo Sudra Sambhava. We are born in ignorance and we are all Sudras. But just like for example, you have people who are maturely educated. There are many people who are PhDs, double PhDs and so on. They were not born with a PhD degree, were they? Were they born? No. They went to school, they went to college, they worked hard, and they got their degree. So just like you have to endeavor to cultivate material intelligence, you also have to endeavor to cultivate spiritual intelligence. If you do not endeavor to cultivate spiritual intelligence, then your spiritual intelligence will be weak. When the spiritual intelligence is weak, the mind will be weak. Am I right? When the mind will be weak, the senses will be weak. And when the senses are weak, you will only think of eating, drinking, sleeping and mating. The materialist, those who only think about Nidya Maya Maitunya Cha, only think about eating, sleeping, defending and mating. Their intelligence, their senses are very weak. Their mind is weak. And their intelligence is weak. Therefore, they do not know the goal of life. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj has explained ninefold process of devotional service, isn't it? Just like Govinda Das explains. He explains that this human life is like a drop of water on a lotus leaf. A drop of water on a lotus leaf can fall off the lotus leaf at any time. Am I right? Therefore he says, Baja Hari Pada Nitire. Some of the other, take shelter of Hari. Hari means Krishna. Hari means one who drives away everything inauspicious. So, just like with clap, the birds fly away. So similarly, when you clap and dance in front of the deities, then your sinful karma, sinful desires, they also disappear. Now when you take shelter of Hari, then you can free yourself from the entanglement of material existence. But how do you take shelter of Hari? Again, Govinda Das explains, the ninefold process of devotional service. So the ninefold process of devotional service begins with what is known as Shravanam and Kirtanam. Shravanam and Kirtanam forms the basis of spiritual life, or it forms the foundation of spiritual life. Shravanam and Kirtanam means to hear and to recite. Shravanam and Kirtanam. Shravanam is hearing. Hearing through the ears. Actually, the ears are very, very important for spiritual life because through the ears we hear. And if we hear attentively, then the effect is very strong. Prabhupada used to say many times that when Prabhupada would go to hear his spiritual master, he would hear very attentively, even though he could not even understand many times what Bhakti Siddhanta Ji was saying. If any of you read Bhakti Siddhanta Ji's writings, it is so philosophical and so difficult that unless you read it many times, you won't understand. He was an empowered Shakti, empowered representative of the Supreme Lord. But Prabhupada would still hear attentively, even if he couldn't understand. So Bhakti Siddhanta Ji had remarked that this boy hears attentively, so one day he will preach attentively and forcefully. So we hear, what do we hear? We hear the vibration of the holy name and we hear the transcendental philosophy that is spoken in the Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita classes. That is why Prabhupada, when he started this movement with the mood that this is an educational institution. This is just not a temple where you chant and dance. No. This is an institution where you study. Therefore, there's a systematic study of the Srimad Bhagavatam every day. First we chant the shlokas, then we discuss the word meaning, then we discuss the purport, there's a speaker who speaks. In the evening we read the Bhagavad Gita. Because when you hear, and then Prabhupada wrote 100 books, why did Prabhupada write so many books? He could just have given one Bhagavad Gita and then Prabhupada could have relaxed, isn't it? But Prabhupada used to write. He used to get up at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock in the night. And then all night he would translate these books and then till 4 o'clock in the morning. Why? Because these books contain the Vani of Krishna. Krishna is present in Vapu and Vani. 5,000 years ago, Krishna came in his Vapu form. Again, Krishna came in his Vapu form in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Krishna is also present in his Vani form. This Vani is non-different from Krishna. This we must understand. When we sit down and read Srimad Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam, you must understand that you are directly associating with Krishna. And not only with Krishna, just like Krishna is present in his Vapu and Vani form, Krishna's representative, the Acharya, is also present in his Vapu and Vani form. Because these books have been commented upon by great self-realized souls like Srila Prabhupada and the great Acharyas. So when we read these books, we get intelligence. Our intelligence becomes sharp. And then with sharp intelligence we can understand, yes, this should be the goal of life. This is how I must control my mind. Because mind is determination. Unless you make your mind determined, you can't do anything in life. Just even in material life, when people want to succeed materially, they have to make their mind material, determined, so they work hard like a mood up morning to night, isn't it? So the spiritualist, he must also develop strong determination. Determination is the key to spiritual advancement. If you determine that I must achieve the goal of life, then no material discomfort will be an impediment to your spiritual effort. Just like in material life, there will always be duality. We must understand material life is a big prison house. Material life is nothing but a place of misery. So there is always duality. What does duality mean? One day you're honored, other day you're dishonored. One day you are victorious, other day you may get defeated. One day you may get what you want, the other day you may not get what you want. So one must be determined. Therefore Rupa Goswami says, Utsahat nishtayat dharyat tat tat karma pravartanat sanga tyage sato vrete sadbir bhaktir siddhi. That your devotional service can develop if you are determined. So that determination comes by using the intelligence properly. And intelligence is influenced by Shravanam and Kirtana, hearing. So we should read these books and study these books and make others read these books. And if we read, then our intelligence will change. Just like people, especially in India, are amazed how we have so many temples all over the world, okay? Actually, the other day, Mr. Sachdevaji was telling me that you had a meeting with Narasinghananda, and he was telling me, oh, he's a Frenchman, but he knew so much of the Bhagavad Gita. Isn't that what he told me? I was driving to his factory. So he was telling me, oh, he's a Frenchman and he knew the Bhagavad Gita so much. I had a discussion, I was surprised. So people all over India, many times they get surprised. How did these people become Vaishnavas and all that all over the world? If you tell people in India, devotees don't eat tea, coffee and onions, they almost get a heart attack, you know, because it's almost inconceivable. Anyway, where do they get all their strength from? They were not born with this intelligence, isn't it? But that intelligence comes by Shravanam Kirtanam. This is transcendental knowledge meant for entire humanity. Krishna's instruction of the Vedas are universal. They're not meant for people of one country or one community. They're meant for the whole planet. Krishna Veda means knowledge for the entire humanity. And because Prabhupada presented the teachings of Krishna in its pure form, people all over the world are taking to it by reading these books. We don't have the money to bribe people to become Krishna conscious. Just like you hear about very concentrated effort of preaching of Christians and Muslims in our country. I was in Amritsar a few days ago and they were telling me that even in that area the Christians are really preaching very strongly in the suburbs of Punjab, in the villages. Of course, they're already doing in Northeast country and all that. But even in Punjab and all, the Christians have got very active now. So the point is, these people are preaching, but they're preaching by promising people economic benefits and so on. You understand? But we're not in a position to promise anyone economic benefits. But when they read these books, they understand, yes, because when they read these books, they are associating with Krishna. They are associating with a pure devotee. And their lives change by reading these books. Therefore, if you want to control your senses, we must understand the senses are very dangerous. Nobody should be overconfident. The Srimad Bhagavatam says that you should not even sit with your mother or sister or daughter alone. The Srimad Bhagavatam says that. It is not us, it is Krishna saying. Why? Because it says the senses are so uncontrollable that if you want, then one should not even sit with anyone but one's wife, because the senses are very, very dangerous. So we have to take the poison out of the senses. Just like in India, you have these snake charmers. And these snake charmers, they can even keep the snake on their head, isn't it? They even have the snake on their neck. But there's a trick to it. When I was a young child studying in school, and I used to see these snake charmers and I used to be amazed, you know, this man is so bold, he has a cobra right in his hand. How can he do it? So how do they do it? They've taken out the teeth. The poison of the snake is held in the teeth. So if you take out the teeth of the snake, then even when the snake bites you, it has no effect. So, in the absence of Shravanam Kirtanam, these senses are full of poison. The eyes are poison, the ears are poison, the nose are poison. What does poison mean? Material desires, material goals. We have to take the poison out. So we are not suggesting, oh, let me take your eyes out, cut your ears, cut your nose, cut your tongue, cut your genitals, and then live. We are not suggesting that. Krishna says, take the poison out of these senses. Don't blind yourself, don't cut your ears off, don't cut your nose off, don't cut your tongue, but purify them. Just like the same land here, this building that we are building. This building could have been used as a club, whatever, just like many of you have seen our Hare Krishna temple in Bombay. The Jew land, before Prabhupada bought that land, they were trying to sell that land to make a 5-star hotel. So some of the other, Krishna is the cheater of the cheaters, Krishna tricked that man and Prabhupada was able to get that land. And after we got the land, they gave us so much trouble for 2 years. They would not give us permission to build because they were going to make a hotel and now we want to make a temple. So that same land could have been used to make a 5-star hotel for contaminated thing, disease activities. Now it's been used to make a nice place to glorify the Supreme Lord. So we have to do exactly the same approach with our senses. We have to purify the senses. And the process of purification comes from chanting and hearing and reading. So reading and making others read. Why did Prabhupada emphasize book distribution? Why did Prabhupada want royalty? Of course, and the books that Prabhupada translated, millions of copies were sold even when Prabhupada was on the planet, in every language of the world. So Prabhupada could have made so much royalty, isn't it? So is it because Prabhupada wanted royalty that he encouraged these books to be sold? He never took one paisa royalty. With his royalty, he built all these temples. The point is, Prabhupada wanted these books to be distributed because these books can change the lives of people. They can change a lot. They can change our lives and they can change other people's lives. They will change our lives if we study these books. Therefore, every devotee must read every day for 1 hour a day. Therefore, Prabhupada said, everyone must attend morning class, evening class. Now we have evening class every day. Unless you're really out preaching, you must come to the class. If you're out preaching, then it's okay. But if you're just in the ashram, then that's not good. You must come to the class. So the point in morning class, very, very important. Better to have a short class, but make sure everyone comes. So when you hear and you make others read, then their lives get purified. We can see that ourselves. So just like, you know, there's so many examples of people all over the world. They have received a book and how their lives have changed. That is why Prabhupada emphasized book distribution. Prabhupada said, if you love me, then distribute my books. And as long as book distribution goes on, I will never die. Why did Prabhupada say, I will never die? Because Narottam Das Thakur says that the Vaishnava Acharya is always living through his sound incarnation. So when you redistribute these books, then Prabhupada is over there preaching to the people. So therefore, we devotees of the Radha Parthasadi temple, we should try our best to read every day. Every day, every devotee must read. If you just like it's our first duty to do our 16 rounds, it's also your duty to read these books and hear. But then we should also try to distribute these books. So we know that all devotees are engaged in one marathon right now. Frankly, I can say this in public, we're engaged all in Lakshmi Collection Marathon. Because without Lakshmi Collection, we can't complete this project. Prabhupada used to explain that Lakshmi belongs to Narayan, just like Sita belongs to Ram. When Sita was kidnapped by Ravan, then Lord Ram had to go there to bring Sita back. So devotees have to preach to inspire people to bring and return their Lakshmi to Narayan. So we know that all of you are engaged in trying to encourage people to do some service for this temple. And it is said in the scriptures that anybody who helps build the temple of Lord Vishnu, what happens? Gets liberation for 7 generations. A temple of Lord Vishnu. This temple of Lord Vishnu will change the lives of millions of people. Millions of people who would otherwise go to hell, they will get saved, isn't it? Just like in our Radha Raspberry temple in Bombay, every day on an average about 10,000 people come. So they come, they have darshan of the devis. Even if they don't read the book, even if they don't buy a book, just by having darshan of Radha Raspihari and offering obeisances, they get purified. So similarly, when our temple in Delhi is ready, you will have the Lordship Shri Shri Radha Partha Sarthi along with Lalita Vishakha, Prabhupada Bhakti Siddhanta Ji along with Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. And you will have Sitaram, Lakshman, Hanuman. So people, when they come and just offer obeisances, they will get purified. And if they're fortunate enough to meet a devotee, take a book And how many books will go out just from the temple? In fact, hopefully, also because this is like the number one tourist spot in Delhi, more or less, you know, a lot of people come and they'll buy our books, we're excited they'll get saved. So in addition to this marathon of completing this temple, which as you devotees know, we want to open in Prabhupada's centennial year by Prabhupada, by Ram Navami, on Ram Navami, we also have this book distribution marathon. So we would like to request all our devotees to use their intelligence, how to engage people in book distribution. Now, we can do this book distribution in many ways. One way, of course, is you tell people, please sponsor, you know, books. They can sponsor 100 books, 50 books, whatever, and people can give out to their friends. Just like Krishna Priya brought one man to me yesterday. He has a cloth shop, curtain shop. So he buys Gitas and he gives to all his friends who come in his shop. That's one way. Then if you have some members who are factory owners, you can encourage them. They can give this as a New Year bonus to their employees, etc. Actually, if you're even in the West now, in all the factories and all that are owned by Christians and all in America and all, they have regular lectures from priests and so on. Because everybody is realizing if people are God conscious, then they do their jobs better. So if you give these books to your employees and all, then they will read it and they will become better. Then another thing we want to do is to sponsor book distribution to schools, colleges, prison house. I would like some devotee here to take responsibility for distributing books to Tihar jail. You know, 2 years ago we were distributing books in Tihar jail and so many people's lives got changed. And Mrs. Bedi, she was in charge of the jail at that time. She was very happy with our devotees, you know, distribution of. We can distribute books to prisoners. Mahamantra, can you do that? We can get some books sponsored and give to all the prisoners. The way to reform people is by changing their hearts. There was a big criminal in the jail and he came, right after he got out of the prison, he came and bought a Bhagavad Gita. And so many in the jail, even in Russia, we distribute these books in prisons. And so many people were serving, I know of some cases, they were serving life sentence. They were murderers, but they were given Bhagavad Gita in jail. They were preached to in jail by devotees and they started chanting and their whole life changed. So we can distribute, let's distribute Bhagavad Gita, yeah, in prisons. Then we can get Bhagavad Gita sponsored for distribution in hotels. One thing that Indians always tell me is, oh, we went to the hotel, we found a Bible, but there was no Bhagavad Gita. You know, have you all seen that? And you go to all big hotels, even in India, they have Bible there, even in India. So they say, why don't you put your Bhagavad Gita in the hotel? Well, I tell them, you're ready to put it, can you please sponsor it? These Bibles are all sponsored by different people and they put them in different hotels. So we should also get, whole Bhagavad Gita is sponsored. So there's so many avenues for preaching. But in order to do this marathon, and of course some devotees can go on the streets and do also book distribution. Actually yesterday I was speaking with Bombay, in the first 2 days of the marathon, two buses of Bombay finished all the books they took in Nasik. They've gone to Nasik, they started the marathon. Yesterday I spoke one on the second. In the first 2 days they finished the whole book van and they were coming back to Bombay to take more books. So devotees all over the world are working very, very hard today. I would say that Delhi is one of the few temples where devotees are still in the temple at 8:35. In the western countries, our devotees are out on the road by 8 o'clock in the morning in the marathon. And they will not come back till later in the night, believe me. And the weather there is extremely cold right now. You know, December is the coldest month of the year all over Europe, America, everywhere. Still they go out in the marathon. So I really want to beg every devotee in this temple. And this marathon is special. Why? Braj Bhakti, why is it special? It's a centennial marathon. This is Prabhupada's centennial. So we should make Prabhupada more famous. So any devotee who doesn't work hard, who doesn't put himself in the marathon spirit, doesn't want to please Prabhupada. Because this is a golden opportunity for all of you to please take part in the marathon, to everyone, right from top to bottom, everyone must go out and do some book distribution in this marathon, and that will be very pleasing. And please don't think if you do some books then your Lakshmi marathon will suffer. No! Krishna is unlimited. We are working under spiritual energy, not material energy. Like people are saying, oh, the economy is so bad, business is bad, this is bad, that is bad. Oh, it may be bad. Yes, it is bad. Material life, you can never have everything good. But we are working under Krishna's energy. So if you work under Krishna's energy, Krishna will make sure that you get it from somewhere. Just like our Bangalore temple, you know, they are constructing at twice the speed of Delhi. Twice the speed, you know. I mean, frankly. And Bangalore is also part of India. Whatever is in Delhi and Bombay, that's also happening in Bangalore. It's not it's any different. But the devotees are spiritually very determined. Spiritually, they have a very strong program, strong leadership, and they are doing it. So my point is, we should make an effort. So please try your best to get people to take our books. We should all approach our congregational members, encourage them to also take the books, huh? And get people to read Prabhupada's books. When people read Prabhupada's books, when they see the philosophy in these books, then they say, yes, this sadhu is different. Then they say, this sadhu is different. This sadhu is really saying something. Not just he's really explaining everything logically. And then people will change their lives. So our business is to change the lives of society. Prahlad Maharaj said, I'm not worried about my own liberation, I'm worried about saving others. So we have to save ourselves and we have to save others. Hare Krishna.